From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences the final message in this series of studies in the Book of Acts. It is entitled, The End of the Beginning. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus says, take freely. He wants no payment or preparation. He seeks no recommendation from our virtuous emotions. If you have no good feelings, if you be but willing, you are invited. Therefore come. You have no belief and no repentance. Come to Him, and He will give them to you. Come just as you are, and take freely, without money and without price. He gives Himself to needy ones. The drinking fountains at the corners of our streets are valuable institutions, and we can hardly imagine anyone so foolish as to feel for his purse when he stands before one of them, and to cry, I cannot drink because I have not 5 pounds in my pocket. However poor the man is, there is the fountain, and just as he is, he may drink of it. Thirsty passengers, as they go by, whether they are dressed in fustian or in broadcloth, do not look for any warrant for drinking. Its being there is their warrant for taking its water freely. The liberality of some good friends has put the refreshing crystal there, and we take it and ask no questions. Perhaps the only persons who need go thirsty through the street where there is a drinking fountain are the fine ladies and gentlemen who are in their carriages. They are very thirsty, but cannot think of being so vulgar as to get out to drink. It would be mean them, they think, to drink at a common drinking fountain. And so they ride by with parched lips. Oh, how many there are who are rich in their own good works, and cannot therefore come to Christ. I will not be saved, they say, in the same way as the harlot or the swearer. What, go to heaven in the same way as the chimney sweep? Is there no pathway to glory but the path which led the thief there? I will not be saved that way. Such proud boasters must remain without the living water. But whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
Thank you. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Final message of the series in the Book of Acts, Dr. Cairns summarizes the teaching of this inspired record of the establishment and growth of the early church. Paul's words to the unbelieving Jews in verse 28 of chapter 28 proclaims the undoubted success of the gospel. "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. First, the church's message is and must be the salvation of God. No other message can bring sinners out of their sin and into eternal life in Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called The End of the Beginning.
This morning we come, believe it or not, to the last of our studies in the book of Acts. And you will understand now why I said so many times when we were trying to cover a lot of ground at once that we had to keep motoring in case this study was prolonged through the rest of our lives. So we've reached the final study. Not really a study at all, but rather a postscript to all the studies that we have conducted over the past year in this book. We're reading at the very end of chapter 28 in Acts, verse 28 through to verse 31. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. When he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And the Lord will bless the reading of these verses to our hearts for his name's sake. Verse 28 is the verse with which I want to close our studies in the book of Acts. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. In Britain's darkest hour, in the conflict with Hitler, Winston Churchill made one of his unforgettable speeches. And in that speech he said, "This is not the end. This is not even the beginning of the end. This is just the end of the beginning." I think that those same words could be written at the end of the book of Acts. You may remember that I noted in one of our opening studies that Acts commences with a reference to the unfinished work of Christ. The things which the Lord Jesus began to do and to teach, and which he then handed on to his apostles to continue to do and to teach. And when I remarked that, I also pointed out that the book of Acts itself is an unfinished book. And thus we find when we come to the 28th chapter that the book ends with the continuing, unhindered, unstoppable proclamation of the gospel despite all the attacks of the devil and his minions against God's chosen instruments and preachers. Now, in ending the way it does, this book emphasizes that while a great deal was done by the apostles, and I think it worth remembering that the apostles and those who labored with them did more for God than any other single succeeding generation has ever done. They had many obstacles, they had many difficulties, they had many disadvantages. They did not have most, I was nearly tempted to say any, of the great advantages we have today, the printed word, fast communication, education, and things like that. They didn't have those things, and yet, lacking those things, they did more in their generation than any other single generation has ever done. But while a great deal of work was done by the apostles, yet their work was only the end of the beginning. And it is left to those who follow to continue where they left off. I think you'll see the beginning which they laid down is one which points the way to the ultimate victory of the gospel. Now, verse 28 is a verse of what I can only term prophetic optimism. It concludes this book on a very positive note, a note of joyous expectation, and a note of definite assurance. But it does more than that, because I think it sets forth for God's people and all the generations to follow the program of service which God has laid upon them. Now today, in this very brief and final and simple application of the book of Acts and its message to ourselves, I want us to examine this prophetic and optimistic verse, this program for the generations which followed the apostles. And I want us to see that it sets before us three very simple and basic things. You will see in verse 28 the substance of the Christian message. It is called the salvation of God. That's the substance of the message. You will notice the scope of this message, for it is sent unto the Gentiles. And finally, and as I said a few weeks ago, this is a part of the verse I had always overlooked. It shows you how blind you can be in reading the Scriptures. The success of this message, we are told emphatically, they shall hear it. Now that's the text and that's the message. I'll start at the beginning, and if I don't get through, you know where to carry on. Let's look first of all at the substance of the Christian message. It's called the salvation of God. Now, you and I have studied this book in vain if we have not come to realize that this is the basic message of the early church. It's the message of the book of Acts, and it's a message which is never to change. God's message has always been, through this dispensation, the message of God's salvation. You may remember that the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4, quoting from the 61st of Isaiah, gives his own mission in life, and he takes a part of Isaiah's prophecy up until the proclamation of the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stops there. Because Isaiah goes on to deal with the second coming of Christ, the day of vengeance of our God. But you see, the first coming of the Savior, the preaching of the Lord Jesus, the preaching of his apostles, is not the preaching preeminently of the day of vengeance of our God. Oh, they warn about those things. They warn about wrath and judgment and hell fire. But it is a warning to save people from them. It is not a message which actually introduces the day of judgment. And therefore the apostles of Christ and the whole church of Christ has as its message still the acceptable year of the Lord. We have as our message the salvation of God. You will see from that description of the message that God addresses men as sinners. When you look at the great preaching of the book of Acts, you will find that it is preaching which always is addressed to sinners. The preaching of the Word of God is not a preaching of dressed up humanism. It is not a preaching which makes much of the so-called divine spark in man. It is not a preaching which makes man feel good because of his inherent and innate nobility and greatness. No, it is a preaching which leaves him in the dust of conviction of sin before a holy God, and making him feel the heinousness of sin. It then shows him God's way of salvation. You see, this book, the whole New Testament, but certainly this book, is a book which is given over to the preaching that sinners need to be saved. Acts 4 and 12, we must be saved. But furthermore, it's a book which goes to tell men that if they are ever to be saved, then that salvation must come from outside of themselves. It points outside of the sinner for the answer to his sin. And in this particular, you will find Bible Christianity is at odds with every branch of apostasy. You will find that Bible Christianity is at odds with just about every other religion in the world, which in one form or another bring man back either to his inherent ability to make himself better or to his good works to placate a holy God. But Bible Christianity always points, first, that men are sinners. Second, that men need to be saved. Third, that God's salvation comes from outside of man. That there is nothing in man either that can please God or that can work and merit God's eternal salvation. There is only one salvation, and it's God's salvation. And that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. In fact, so much is it in Jesus Christ that I sometimes think when I read the scriptures and their references to the salvation of God, I sometimes think that it's almost a reference to a personal title or name of Christ. When the psalmist said, "Oh, that the salvation of God were come out of Zion," the fulfillment of that prayer is not only deliverance for Israel, but the fulfillment of that prayer is the personal coming of Jesus Christ. And therefore, in the highest sense, Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. He is God's salvation. And that's the message that the book of Acts is taken up with. How often did we notice in our studies through this book the preaching of Christ? Remember when Philip, after the scattering of the disciples from the city of Jerusalem, and Philip went to Samaria, to the desert place to meet with the Ethiopian eunuch, he found the scriptures opened at Isaiah 53, and commencing at that very same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Christ is the message of the book. And my friend, let me say to you that this is the continuing message of the people of God today. It seems to me the greatest tragedy of modern evangelicalism and modern fundamentalism even, that in so many cases we have substituted something else for the preaching of Jesus Christ. You think of it. What else can save a sinner but the gospel of Jesus Christ? In what else is there the power of God that can deliver a soul from the jaws of death and hell and bring him into a right relationship with God? In nothing but in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the substance of the message. A message which makes much of the majesty of Christ, which unapologetically preaches the eternal deity of Jesus Christ, which stands four square upon his supernatural virgin birth, which stands completely upon his sinless, impeccable life, and preaches with clarity, with simplicity, and with passion every supernatural fact about the supernatural Savior. We preach the majesty of the Savior and the merit of the Savior. We preach him as the only mediator between God and man, the one who is the channel of blessing, the one who purchased his church with his own blood. Now this is the essence, the substance of God's salvation and the message to be preached to man.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.